tells me Jack is the reason Homeowners Association started.
Yeah. Protect yourself from Jack. Exactly. That's for sure. I don't think Jack's biggest dilemma is lighting it. I think his biggest dilemma
taste.
It's that really good paint thing he was talking about, a paper mache outdoor sculptor. But on that topic, I mean, his question was, let's light something that's tall. Well, gosh, I mean, there's flagpoles that are tall. There's sword cactuses that are tall. Lighting and reaching a tall object is doable?
It's very much so. It's just a matter of beam control, okay, or beam angle. Typically, with most lamps, you have the ability to focus the light in a concentrated form, a narrow flood, where the light opens up from the source very slowly, so you can knock the tops out of, a 70 or 80-foot Mexican fan palm, or light the flagpole that you were referring to, or more of a flood light, where it just opens up, usually utilizing frosted lenses or some type of optic effect, to where the light opens up much more rapidly to cover lower canopy. That
so,
type of thing.
So what did we have? We had a moose fighting a gorilla.
A moose fighting, yeah, 8-foot moose and a 12-foot gorilla.
So I would guess that is much wider than a saur cactus or a flagpole. So now we're trying to light a much broader area.
For both of those, I would probably use a standard flood or a wide flood. Most of the desert plant material that I'm lighting typically on any landscape is going to use a wide flood, because most of the desert plant material is as wide or wider than it is tall. Okay. And that's kind of my rule of thumb when it comes to lighting trees and plant material.
All right. Well, there you go. Folks, we've got open lines. We're talking outdoor lighting in particular right now. I want to talk about the effect of layering light, but I also want you to know that we have open lines at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-767-4348. Anything you'd like to try and get tackled around your house, home, castle, or cabin, give us a ring. Let's go back to outdoor lighting for just a minute.
Yeah.
As I sit on my back patio and I turn my outdoor lighting on, and we have a little TV out there that I watch my college football games on in the fall, and we've got an outdoor speaker system that I like to listen. Jennifer, pots up her favorite CDs,
and we got a better one.
And it's you got a better sound system?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get into that, but let's get into the thing that I like when I'm sitting there that just really puts me – I mean, it really is a quality of life thing. It's the layers of light between me, across the swimming pool, the garden area, and the back wall with the bell guard retaining wall,
yes,
and a little planter and everything. I mean, it's the layers of light that just make you sit there and say – this is beautiful.
Layers create depth, okay? The way I like to approach from a design standpoint is you want kind of a high light level exiting your house. You want to create that seamless transition between your interior living environment and your exterior living environment. You do that by kind of getting the light levels somewhat similar. Then you want to drop off. You just want to kind of light things that are specimen trees, plants, that type of thing, sculptures. And moose fighting gorilla, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the point that you made about the perimeter wall, that's huge. If you wall wash a perimeter wall, you really, really create depth within the landscape. You maximize your depth of view because you're lighting to the perimeter of your given space, your property. But what that does, that just opens up everything. It gives you a real sense of depth through the environment.
Now, aren't there a lot of city codes as to what I can or cannot throw light out in the yard?
Typically, as long as you're not encroaching on somebody else's viewpoint, it's not a big deal. A lot of your HOAs have ordinances and such where they used to have a wattage accumulated wattage tolerance. But with the LED coming on, now it's more of a lumen limit, okay, not a wattage limit, because there's so much more light available moving into LED. So it just depends on the community you live in. But as long as you approach from a design standpoint and you're always beware of glare, you're always watching to make sure you're not throwing light in somebody else's windows and somebody else's eyes. Remember that your key point when you're doing lighting is to see the effect, not the fixture.
But isn't there something about a night sky city or something,
yes,
some kind of legislation?
Dark sky.
A dark sky city, yes, or whatever. What is all that? You can't – there are limits to how much,
yes,
light you can just shoot straight
there's
up in the sky.
There's also limits to what type of light you can use.
Okay.
You get on Camelback Mountain, there's some areas where you can't downlight because people looking up will see those lights. What dark sky really does is try to protect the astronomers. You don't want so much light pollution that you're not going to be able to see the asteroid that's coming down to destroy mankind or something of that nature.
No, you would want to see that. That's for sure. You'd want to catch that visually as soon as you could.
Exactly. Exactly.
Aren't they going to go capture one and put it in orbit around the moon? Did I hear
you know,
that?
I didn't read that.
Yeah, that was the latest story. I think they were just bored and needed a way to convince a new bill for increased funding.
Well, what you see around a lot of like is rules and regulations, restrictions on what type of light. They want low-pressure sodium. Low-pressure sodium lights, that really orange-yellow light you see in parking structures, that's very monochromatic. The astronomers can filter that light wave out and so have plenty more light to see everything else in the nighttime sky.
Okay.
So that's usually when you see the restrictions.
Okay, but any of these residential systems that you're marketing or moving, do you have a particular brand name of one you like?
Well, we sell several at Ewing. We sell FX Luminaire. We sell Hadco.
That's a brand name.
FX Luminaire. Yes, it's very popular here in the Valley.
Okay.
It's a very high-quality line. We sell Vista Professional Outdoor Lighting. We also sell Phillips Hadco, and we sell Focus Industries.
Okay.
And between those four lines, it can pretty much cover whatever it is I need to cover from an application standpoint.
Fantastic. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We've got Nick and Mary Lou with questions, as well as a further ongoing education on outdoor lighting right here at Rosie on the House.
Pick up the Saturday edition of the Arizona Republic for Rosie's Home Improvement column, where we cover the most important topics that every homeowner needs to know.